Education Research. This is episode 70 and focuses on Fiona Chambers and colleagues' pedagogical case about William. This is an audio version of the PEPRN blog that can be found at www.peprn.com/news.aspx. Balancing the drive to do well with downtime. Even model students need our help. It is easy to get caught up with those who struggle, and it is equally easy to assume that those who are thriving don't need as much help. In physical education and sport, we often focus on the model students or the elite, but as William's pedagogical case shows, there is a need to achieve balance. After all work and no play makes William want to quit. There's barely a day when William doesn't get up early, despite the fact that he's not a fan of mornings. There's also barely a moment, it seems, when he's not hungry. He'd love to stay in bed and not be hungry, and maybe not be tired, but that would mean not doing all the stuff he loves to do. Rowing, hurling at the GAA, the Gaelic Athletic Association, walking the dogs, having a crack with his friends, etc. It would also mean that he wasn't playing music or doing the chores that he wants to do to be able to buy himself an indoor rowing machine. William's caught between many worlds, but the two that dominate are his rowing and his hurling. He's on the river 3 times a week, and soon after his 5 a.m. wake-up call, and he's rowing at school, both on the water and on the indoor rower. Despite being the only rower in his village, he just finished second in the county competition, and the school is currently 16th in the national online rowing competition. He wants to get good at this, but knows it will take considerable effort and he'll have to train. At 6'4", he has the height to be a rower, but he's skinny and needs to bulk up. He's found out that to help bulk up, his friend Joey is taking protein shakes and creatine. He heard on the grapevine that some guys at the rugby club were using their parents' credit cards to buy supplements online. Consequently, William has now started looking on the internet to find out about the supplements he could use to help with the bulking. Being bigger would help with the other love of his life and his family's life, hurling. He plays for the local GAA, where his father and granddad played before him. In fact, his granddad won an All-Ireland hurling medal for Cork in the 50s, and he's still revered in the village. William loves the game, but the training isn't always testing, and his coach can't answer his questions. Thank goodness for the internet. He's not just about sport, though. He thinks school is deadly, and PE does his head in because other kids won't take part in the games they play. That said, he likes all his subjects, except religion. He's also mad on music, and could do it all day if allowed. Piano, ukulele, classic guitar, and he'd love a saxophone. That said, he doesn't always know how he fits everything in. Rowing at 5 a.m, school, GAA, training, homework, having a crap with his lads, every night with their hurlies, and Facebook. Oh, and eating. Let's look at the pedagogical case in more detail. Chambers and colleagues view William's case through 3 lenses, physical activity, neuroscience, and digital humanities, before exploring pedagogical strategies and understandings that might help his teachers and coaches support him in managing his busy life. In what follows, I will do the same. From a physical activity perspective, William is a model subject. He meets and exceeds guidelines and is engaging in the recommended range of muscle and bone strengthening and flexibility exercises. While his experiences can be judged as overwhelmingly positive, there are a number of things to be aware of, not least his growing interest in ways of enhancing his performance and bulking up. William really needs a mentor, one external from his rowing and GAA interests, who can help him to develop his growing talent for rowing, navigate his curiosity for performance enhancing and internet-bought products, help him avoid overtraining. It does seem like his rowing and hurling coaches don't talk. And, importantly, ensure that fun is central to all he does. His coaches and mentors will be vital in his future, but his hurling and rowing coaches need to come to an agreement about how they will collaborate to ensure he is always developing without risk of injury or disinterest. From the perspective of neuroscience research, William is giving himself lots of advantages in terms of his learning. Research suggests exercise promotes a process called neurogenesis in the hippocampus of the brain, which is the region of the brain responsible for learning and memory. It is thought that neurogenesis underpins our learning of new tasks and recollection of new information. Exercise has also been linked to increases in the concentration of brain neurotransmitters, which facilitate information processing. The relationship between exercise and academic performance, Chambers and colleagues suggest, is becoming an increasingly intense area of research. Recent studies have shown a beneficial relationship between exercise and cognitive performance. Exercise also has a positive impact on mood and is known to reduce the harmful effects of stress. This might be a reason why William is able to manage the stress of home, including his previously unmentioned but annoying younger siblings, especially his brothers who get into everything he has and break them. Furthermore, exercise, diet and brain health have all been positively linked, and it is important that William eats well, rather than just eating lots, if he is to make the most, in the way of benefits, from his exercise. Outside of his internet searches and Facebook friendships, little is mentioned in this chapter about William's use of digital technology. From a digital humanities perspective, it is right to assume that as a teenager he participates in digital media and deals with vast audiences outside of his immediate context. His internet searches, Facebook, and his involvement in the online rowing championships are all sneak peeks into his digital life. It is important that his online engagement is positive, be it in the competitive rowing gaming community or his search for performance enhancers. It doesn't appear that William is too caught up in his online world. After all, he always finds time to have a crack with his friends at the local pitch. But there are dangers. The unwillingness or inability of his coaches to answer questions is driving him to ask them elsewhere, and this could lead to ingesting substances that could have fatal repercussions for a young person. While creatine might be beneficial, William's need for answers to training questions are important reasons for digital literacy to be a keystone in all aspects of education for contemporary youth. Pedagogically, Chambers and colleagues ask us to consider William as a learner. His work-sport balance and his position as a millennial, i.e. someone born between the 80s and 2000. Particularly, they ask their readers to consider the pedagogical encounter, the precise moment where a teacher, coach or instructor seeks to support a learner in sport, physical activity or exercise settings. They argue that each encounter is an interaction. As such, it requires the pedagogue to consider not only what his or her experiences bring to each encounter, in other words, what preconceptions and beliefs they hold as the adult, but also to consider what they know about William as a learner. In other words, they, the pedagogue, need to use a relational knowledge of children and understand that what worked for them won't necessarily work for others. This means that we need to acknowledge that each child is unique and, as pedagogues, we need to develop a bigger palette of pedagogical possibilities. With regards to students like William, this means that we would need to help him strike a balance between his activities and help him build in time to relax. What with dog walking, hurling, rowing, school and chores, he doesn't seem to have too much time for relaxation. He does find time daily to have a crack with his friends, but this is hurling related. Having one relatively independent person to help him achieve this would help him to be able to maintain a high level of motivation for sport training, while also developing other transferable skills. Part of this could be achieved through his online presence, and as a millennial, he has advantages that others don't or didn't. That said, he needs help to be a critical consumer of unregulated knowledge that is out there, and this means creating a balance between what he is learning in school and doing outside of school. While William might sound like both a typical teenager and a dedicated sportsman, he, and others like him, need support to achieve the very best they can. The demands of growing up are taxing enough without the demands and drive to become an elite athlete, especially when you're taking part in different sports. The key is communication and ensuring that all parties are talking to each other and putting the young person's interests first. So in concluding, how does this discussion relate to you, your sessions and your context? Did it make you think or consider something? I'd love to hear your thoughts and so would others, so please share at www.peprn.com/news.aspx. Thanks for listening and join me next week for the next Pepin podcast, where I'll discuss Mark Close and colleagues' pedagogical case about Laura. Acknowledgements. I would like to thank Vicky Goodyear for her work behind the scene as copy editor. Her help certainly forms a vital part of the production of this podcast and in getting it out on time and in a semblance of coherence. However, it's important to note that any mistakes that remain are mine. Note. There are hyperlinks often in the blog that are not noted in the podcast. Please see the blog for the full story. Thank you.